What is the work of the church? In Revelation, Jesus says to each of the seven churches, I know your works. He is not satisfied when the works of a congregation are inadequate. To the church at Ephesus, he says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. To the church at Sardis, he says, I have found no works of yours perfected before my God. Revelation 3, verse 2. He commended the church at Thyatira, as for your works, the last are more than the first. Revelation 2, verse 19. We must be always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. The work of the church is prescribed in Scripture. Paul told Timothy, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. The work of the church is done by its members. The church is the body of Christ. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Christians are always members of the body of Christ. We are to do everything in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 17. And to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Romans 12, verse 1. In a sense, then, all that Christians do is done by the church. But some things are done by individual members, and some things are done at the congregational level. Because all the work of the church is done by its members, either in their own name or as a congregation, New Testament letters addressed to churches deal both with congregational and with personal matters. A sharp distinction is seldom made because many things apply to congregations and to members. Various tasks are entrusted to believers and to congregations. Individual Christians earn money to support their families. Believers are to care for their own relatives. 1 Timothy 5, verses 4, 8, and 16. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Lydia was a seller of purple. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. A church of Christ, however, has not been authorized to operate a business. Jesus condemned those who conducted business in the temple. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. Jesus condemned dishonest gain, but also using the temple for something other than its intended purpose. This also applies to the church. It may not be used for wrongful purposes. Congregational resources result from free will offerings on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And from special gifts. Acts 4, verses 34 and 35. These resources may be used for all assignments God has given the church. Christians administer their own resources. Referring to the land Ananias had sold, Peter said, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control?" Acts 5, verse 4. Congregational funds are administered by the elders. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Acts 11, verses 29 and 30. What are tasks of a local congregation? One must read the entire New Testament to get a complete picture of the tasks of the church. Here are some examples. The church is to assemble. Christians come together to stir up love and good works. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. About the Jerusalem congregation, we read, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Acts 2, verse 42. This fellowship included friendly association, eating together, and helping one another. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need." So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Acts 2, verses 44 through 46. The believers came together both as a large group in the temple and in smaller groups in homes. The expression "ate their food with gladness" refers to ordinary meals, not to the Lord's Supper, as in verse 42. They enjoyed being together, and they enjoyed eating together. Where a congregation is to meet is not specified. Meetings were held in the temple at Jerusalem, in an upper room, in homes, and in their own synagogues. "For if there come into your synagogue a man with a gold ring," etc., James 2, verse 2. Some translations have assembly for synagogue, but it is synagogue in Greek. The command to assemble authorizes a congregation to make arrangements for a place to meet. The church assembles to eat the Lord's Supper. The church assembles on the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20, verse 7. The Jerusalem church continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The church prays and sings to God. The Jerusalem church continued steadfastly in prayers. In the assembly, Christians sing with the Spirit and with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Singing is melodious speaking. Unspiritual songs are excluded, of course. But the general command to sing includes all types of singing, whether in unison or with harmony, whether in the chromatic scale or some other scale, whether in a major or minor key, it is all singing. If the command had been to make music, instrumental music would be included. But the command to sing excludes non-vocal music. The church preaches the gospel. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. No single congregation or individual can preach to everyone in the world. All Christians and congregations work together to carry out this assignment. Exactly how the gospel is to be preached is not said. Thus, Christians and congregations may decide the best way to go, on foot, by boat, by train, or by airplane, because they have been given the general command to go. They also make use of available means of proclamation, sermons, tracts, newspapers, radio, TV, internet, because they have been given the general command to preach. Christians preach both in their own vicinity and in other parts of the world. Some go and others support those who go. Romans 10, verses 11 through 15. The church teaches disciples to obey Christ. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. God gave apostles and prophets in the first century to found the church, Ephesians 2, verse 20, and evangelists, elders, and teachers for all times to build up the church, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. To teach disciples to observe all that Christ has commanded, each congregation provides instruction according to its needs, abilities, and opportunities. Exactly how the instruction is organized is not prescribed. Such details may be decided by each congregation according to their own circumstances. Many congregations, for example, have special classes for children of various ages, for women, for people with various levels of knowledge, and to train men for leadership. The church is financed by gifts from its members. A collection is taken on the first day of the week. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. This example authorizes a congregation to have a collection on the first day of the week and to form a treasury from which needs can be met. Special contributions may also be given. Acts 4, verses 34 and 35. The church does good works. Paul prayed that the church at Colossae might be fruitful in every good work. Colossians 1, verse 10. Pure religion includes helping orphans and widows. James 1, verse 27. In connection with the gifts collected by the church at Corinth, Paul says that they shared with the saints and with all men. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 12 and 13. By doing good, the church brings glory to God. In the letter to the churches of Galatia, Galatians 1, verse 2, Paul wrote, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Since the church cannot alleviate all needs, fellow Christians have priority. In the second letter to the Church of the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Jesus is our example. He went about doing good. Acts 10, verse 38. One of his distinctive teachings is that we should do good to all, not just to brethren. Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47. The church at Jerusalem, with more than 5,000 members, distributed food daily to the widows. Acts 6, verses 1 through 4. The church is to support older, godly widows who have insufficient help from their family. 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 16. Congregations helped brethren in other places who were in need because of famine. This help was extended to all. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 12 and 13. The church appoints elders and deacons. After seven men had been sought out by the church at Jerusalem, they were appointed by the apostles to take care of the widows. Acts 6, verse 3. The appointment of elders and deacons who meet the biblical qualifications may be done with the help of an evangelist. Paul told Titus, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you." Titus 1, verse 5. The church withdraws from Christians who persist in sin. A congregation may not allow its members to bring reproach on the church by their conduct or by false teaching. After a loving attempt to bring the person to repentance, if he refuses to repent, he must be excluded from the fellowship. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 13. A congregation can give letters of recommendation to traveling Christians to confirm that they may be accepted as fellow believers. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. May our works be acceptable to God. We have examined several tasks God has given the church. The church is to assemble for worship and for other suitable purposes. A collection is taken on the first day of the week, and special contributions may also be given. With these resources, the gospel is preached and believers are edified. The church does good, especially to believers. The church appoints qualified men as elders and deacons and withdraws fellowship from those who persist in sin. These are some examples of works of the church, both in our daily lives and as a church. Let us be always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. Amen.